and Moran as follows. Okay? That Imra Isa, right? Dor Shatara Khabiba Allah. So that I already did. The further one over there, right? First one is the Mishas Machbisim, the Mishas, Fasim. And then we learn the Nosaf, the Imra Isan, if you see, Dor Shena Torah Chaviva Lov, you see a generation where the Torah is not popular, it's not beloved, then Kaneis. Then in that particular case, you have to hold back, says Rashi, the Al Patil Divrei Torah Vizayon, and do not bring the words of Torah into contempt. In other words, what Hillel is saying over here is really three different things. Okay? He's saying, first of all, that where there are no teachers of Torah, then what? You have to go out and teach Torah. Okay? Shasamach Nisim, right? So then you have to be Hazer. You have to go out and teach. If, on the other hand, there are many great teachers of Torah, then in that case, Kaneis.
Take it easy,
be humble, and let the others leap to become the boss over them, okay? But the last one says, if you see a generation that the Torah is despised by them, then in that particular case, act in such a way, don't go, like with a chip on your shoulder and going around, put on tefillin or something like that, because you don't want the Torah to be held in contempt. Wait for the proper moment when you can go and again, begin to teach Torah. You have to know how to act. You have to know when to act under these circumstances. And the important thing is that the Torah should not come into contempt, and the name of heaven should be held in honor. David, you had a question?
No.
So this is what Hillel is urging, okay? Dorash Bar Kapora. Bar Kapora gave the following drasha. He said, Zolas Kivot Kenei Minor. Asa Vilez Kabar Taman Havei Gabar. Alright. Now, what he's saying is Zolas. He gave an interpretation. He's giving like a marshal. The marshal is Zolas. When things are cheap, he says, then Kivot gather, or according to the Oruch, which is the earliest dictionary of the Talmud, published about the year 900 to 1000 or so. There the wording was kapot, jump. In other words, seize the moment, right? And what should you do? You should... go and buy, whatever is being offered, at cheap prices. Because the idea being, that afterwards you'll be able to reap a rich reward. So that's the first one, okay? Secondly, he says, Ba'asa deles gevar taman, in a place there is no man there, then heve gevar, then you have to be the man. Of course, that reminds us of the statement that we have in Pirkei Avos, in Mokam Shein Anoshim, in a place where there are no people, then you have to try to be the man in that particular case. Okay? Alright, so this is what Bar Kapora said. Okay. Omar Abaye said, Shma Minor. From this then we learn that Ba'asa the East Gevar Taman Lotei Gevar. That in a place where there is someone, who is a God of the Torah, then, we'll take it easy. In other words, he's really trying to bring out what was said before by Hillel, that where there are teachers of Torah, then, take it quietly, okay? So they say, Pshita. Shouldn't that be obvious? So he says, Leinitzvaka, where do we have to have this statement? Elav Shishneim Shavim, when both of them are equal in their knowledge. In that case, defer to the other person. All right, because we don't want to bring about a machlokes, even though each one stands on an equal footing as far as the knowledge of Torah is concerned. Dorash Bar Kapora, another statement that you made, a zui parsha katana. What is a very small parsha? Shekol Gufei Torah Tiluyin Bo, where we find that all the basic principles of Torah can be found in just this little pasuk, so to speak. Okay, that's what he means by the Parsha Katana, like a small pasuk, but it's the essence of Torah. So he says, "Bechol Derachecha Da'ehu V'Hu Yasher Chasecha." He says we can remember what we have to do if we remember this verse. The verse is, "Know Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight." In other words, if you know God with all your ways, everything that you do is for God's sake, then God in turn, you know, will guide you in the straight path. Okay? Omar Rava, and Rava adds something. He says, even if a person is committing an Avera, which means what? So, what they're saying over here is that even in the time of a person commits an Avera, he should remember God, and God will try to help him, you know, to either to cease the Avera or to change his way of life so he doesn't commit an Avera. But even if you do something wicked, don't forget God and seek His help as well. Doresh Bar Kapor, another statement Bar Kapor, says, "V'yolam yilamid adam es beno umanus nekiya v'kale." Says the person should always try to teach his son a light and easy trade. And mahi, so what is this light and easy trade? So Rav Chista said, "That's machto the Talmud Yusuf." Says teach him how to take a needle and make straight rows. The idea being that a person who knows how to do sewing well will never lack for some occupation. Of course, I don't know, they used to speak about the Schneiders suffering from all kinds of poverty and things like that. I don't know, maybe they didn't know how to make straight rows with a needle, at least. But there's no question that the tailors, you know, had a tough life. But nevertheless, there is also one advantage. The advantage is that if you're skilled with the needle, you can take this wherever you go to, because there'll usually be a demand for someone. Today I know that to try to get somebody to do alterations for you, it's called guilt. Okay, we continue. Tanya. We have learned. Rabbi Yomer. Rabbi says, a person, he says, should not have too many friends gathered in his house. Shenemar, because there's a pasuk which says, "Ish reyim lehisroya," that if a person is always surrounded by his friends, then it's only going to lead to a evil, to bad things. Of course, I mean, I would say the person that, you know, has a lot of friends, it's a good meeting.
Yeah.
But apparently, Rebbe is speaking from his own personal experience that if you have too many people coming and missing in your home, then in that particular case, it means that among all your companions, maybe you'll have evil companions as well as good companions, so that they can shut you in the wrong direction. It's not really spelled out over here, you know, why he says that. Okay? Rashi simply says this, so where is his rotates? His rotates means like, you know, they get into arguments with each other. So that maybe that's the reason why, that if you have a lot of friends, they'll have arguments with each other. And you will suffer from the fact, you know, that they're always continuing to argue with each other.
I notice that Rashi is now covered, carries over to the outside cover.
Yeah, right, because there is no more Tesis over here. Tesis was finished on Samach Beis. That was the end of Tesis.
I see.
Yeah. All right. We continue. Tanya Rabbi Yomer, and now another statement of Rabbi. You know, I mentioned several times in the past, since this was preserved orally to begin with, before they ever sat down in order to print them, or even to write them down in manuscript, which of course preceded printing by 1,000 years or more, nevertheless, it was a little bit easier to remember oral statements if they had 2, 3, 4 different things attributed to the same person. That way you could sort of remember, oh yes, he said this, and he said this. It's like a mnemonic device,
yeah.
A memory
device.
Right. Okay, so another statement of Rebbe. This, of course, is very appropriate because we're now reading the story of Yosef. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, he says, "On Yimana Odom of the Trupas Besof Besa," says, a man should not appoint an apotropos. An apotropos, in general, this is somebody who takes charge of a house. One translation is
steward.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's more than a housekeeper. It's the person, you know, who runs the house for you. Okay. Yes.
The guardian.
Yes, correct. We also use it in the sense of guardian, modern Hebrew, and even in the Talmud, it's used in that sense as well. Right. So a person should not establish, you know, appoint somebody like that in his home. In other words, he should run the house himself and not, you know, get somebody else to do it. Shel Molei. Because if it weren't for the fact, Lamino Potiphar and Yosef, at the Trupas, Besof Besa, if it weren't for the fact that Potiphar appointed Yosef to be the head of his household over there, to run his household, then it would not have happened that he would come, you know, to that certain event. Of course, you know, we're talking about that, you know, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Yosef. Okay. So, in other words, take care of your home, take care of your wife yourself. Don't get somebody else to do it for you. Tanya, another statement, Rabbi Omer, again, another statement of Rabbi. He says, Lama Nismicho Pashas Nozer Nefashas Soita. He says, why do we find, and this is in Parsha Nozer, if you remember in the Sefer Bamidbar, it says, why is the Parsha of Nozer followed by the Parsha of Soto? Nozer, remember, the Nozer is the person, the Nazarite, who takes a vow, not to drink wine, not even to eat grapes, grape pits, skins, nothing, right? And of course also not to cut his hair. These are the prohibitions that he took upon himself. Okay? So why is this Parsha preceded, why does it precede the Parsha's Sota? You know, the story about the woman who is accused, who is suspected of infidelity by her husband. So he says, there's a reason why one parsha follows the other. Loma l'chor, so teach you, shekol ha-roeh soita b'tul kula, yazir asbinah, and actually it's the other way around. First we have parsha soto, and then we have parsha nozir. So what he's saying is, that if you see how the soto, you know, the woman who is suspected of infidelity, came to this disgraceful condition, then you will take a vow not to drink. Because presumably, why did she, you know, begin to fool around with a man
she was not
other than her husband? Right, because she was intoxicated and so on. And of course, we have in the book of Mishlei a very striking picture of a woman who cheats on her husband. And, you know, she invites the man that she's trying to entice to become a lover. All kinds of precious wines and beautiful coverlets of silk and the most precious sheets that he could lie on and things like that and so on and so forth. But he doesn't know that his end is going to be hate piso. An arrow will pierce him suddenly. In other words, the husband will come home and find him and that'll be his bitter end. So the point being then that if you know, you recognize that people can act disgracefully because of intoxication, then in that particular case, so Yazirat will be Nihayat. Okay? Person should deny himself, you know, take upon himself the act of being a Nazir and refrain from wine. Chizkiyah, Bereda Bar Panach, Chizkiyah, the son of Bar Panach, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, son of him Rabbi Yochanan, says, Lama Nisbeho Pasha Sotan, Pasha Strumos of Aso. Now, after that, we have about Trumos and Masvos. In other words, you know that you actually it's before, but you have to give Trumos and Masvos. You really have to go in the order in which it's found in the Torah, not the order in which they mention it over here, because Trumos and Masvos it also precedes Parshas Nozir, Parshas Sota, and then Parshas Sota precedes Parshas Nozir. Alright, so we've explained now first of all why Sota comes before Nozir. So now the question is, why does Trumas and Masvos, you know, the fact that you have to give Trumah to the Kohen, you have to give tithes to the Levi and, you know, to the poor and so on, you know, the laws concerning Chumash Samar says, why does that precede the business about Sota? So he explains. He says, the reason being, if you have and you don't give it, you know, you have the big grain, the wine and everything else, you know, that you could give to the Kohen, to the lady, and you don't give it, in a nose of the Kohen, he doesn't give it to the Kohen, then so, this was the Kohen, you'll need the Kohen for another thing, namely, Ayodei Yishtal. You'll need him because of your wife, Shademar. And he derives it from the way the Pesukim run. It says, Yish is Kodeshav, lo yiyu. Every man who keeps unto himself, this is how he interprets the Pesuk now, who keeps unto himself his kodoshim, in other words, the things that he has to give to him some aspirates from, right? Besomichlei, and what's followed after that? We find Ishishki Sista Ishta. So in other words, if you keep your trumos and maestros to yourself instead of giving them to the Kohen, then your wife is going to become unfaithful to you. And then the Pasuk says, Vahevi or Ishas Ishto, that the man has to bring his wife to whom? Has to bring her to the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdosh, you know.
Well, you've been right.
And it's the Kohen, you know, who then quizzes her and he wants to know and wants her, threatens her, etc., etc. Okay? The low old, not only that, Elasov Shat Nitzvach Lehen. But more than that, the end will be that he himself will require the to be the beneficiary of Trumas and Masvas. All right, not Trumas, but certainly Masvas, unless he's a poor Kohen. But if he's, let's say, a man, you know, he's denied, he didn't give to the poor person, the day will come when he himself will become poor, and he himself will have to depend upon the Masvas. Right, this will be his punishment. Okay? Shenemar, and how then? Here they interpret the Pasuk differently. The Yishas Kodashav, lo yiyu. And each man, you know, those things which are sacred things, they will be his eventually. In other words, he will have to, you know, depend upon them. Omer Rab Nachman by Yitzchok. Rab Nachman Yitzchok says, the yim nos nam. But what happens if you do give your Trumas and Masvos? Then self misasher. Then the end will be that you will become wealthy. Shenemar, Ish asher yitein la kohen, lo yiyeh. Right? A person who gives to the Kohen, it will be his. Of course, I have to tell you, the pshat of the pasuk is that if a person gives something to the Kohen, it now belongs to the Kohen. This is the pshat of the pasuk. But you know, when you come to a drash, Drash doesn't necessarily go according to Pshat because the Drash wants to teach a lesson. Okay? So he says, he says, Lo yiyeh momon harbe, means that he will have a great deal of money. He'll become wealthy if he gives to the Kohen. Omer Avunu Bar Melecha, Mishum Rabbi Elozar Kapor. He said in the name of Rabbi Elozar Kapor, he says, Kol HaMashatev Shem Shemayim Tzaro, whoever literally makes the name of heaven, whoever shares the name of heaven in the midst of his tsar, in the midst of his tsaros, kofano panasasa, then the end will be that he will receive double panasa. Okay? In other words, if you call upon God, you say, God, please help me, and so on, and you turn to God, then God will eventually reward you. Okay? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, as the Pasuk taken from the book of Iyob, it says, Voyo Shaddai Bitzorecha. God will take care of you in your Tzoris, Tzorecha, in this case, right? The Chesef Tuatos Lo. And you will have Chesef Tuatos. Now the question is, what is Chesef Tuatos? So, we have to take a look at, guess who?
Rashi.
Right, okay.
You want to look at it now.
Yeah, okay. Instead of what Rashi says, he says, what does it mean that in his, you know, in his adversity, he shares the name of God with him? In other words, he praises God. He says, right, that he makes the bracha for the tzoros that he has, and he says, Dayan ha'emes. In other words, he accepts upon himself the fact that God is the righteous judge, right? So, first of all, remember what we said before, that if something bad happens to you, you still have to praise God. So this is Mishat Hashem Shemayim. Or he gives another interpretation, Inami. Likewise, another interpretation, Shem Avakish Rachmin Ufanot, that, you know, you ask for pity from God, right? And then he says, Mitzarecha, I interpreted the way Rashi does, Mitzarecha, right in your Tzoras, God will be there with you in your Tzoras. Then you'll get what? Kesef Tawafos. So he says, it means, remember he said, the first interpretation is that you're going to get double Hadassah, right? So he says, the word Tawafos is Lashon Kefila. He says, the word Tawafos implies doubling. Kima Targum Minun, as the Targum says, where the Torah says, V'chol Falto, you know, they're speaking about the building of the Mishkan, and you know that they have to double over the various coverings that they use for it, okay? You know, so they lie on both sides of the Odom away, right? So, how does the Targum translate the word V'chavalta? It says V'so'i. So from this we see that it's connected with the idea of doubling, okay? However, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani gives a different one. He says, Omar says, Parnaso, Parnaso so, boy, Fafis, lo, Kitsipa. He says, your Parnaso will fly unto you even like a bird. In other words, you'll have an easy going, easy sailing. Your Parnaso will come to you sailing like on the bird of paradise itself, okay?
Provided you.
Right. Shenema, the Chesed to our first loch. And he, of course, you know, ties it into oof, oof, you know, to fly. Omer Rab Tabi, Omer Rab Yosho. Rab Tabi says the name of Rab Yosho, says, Kolam Ape Atzma Medibay Torah. Somebody who literally weakens himself in the words of Torah. In other words, he's very schwach in learning Torah. You know, he runs to do everything else, but not. So, Ein Bo Koach La'amod Yom Sorah. Then he loses the strength to stand up in the day of adversity. In other words, you need the words of Torah in order to enable you to stand up. And if you let it go, you don't bother with words of Torah, then you don't have the strength, the koach, to stand up in the day of adversity. Shenemar, Yisra Pesa B'yom Tzar, B'yom Tzorah, Tzar Kochacha, which means, if you have been slack in the day of adversity, then your koach will also be tzar, will be literally narrow. In other words, you won't have strength. Omer Rabbi Bar Matzda Omer Shmuel Va'afilo Mitzvah Achas. It says this applies not just to the whole Torah, but even if you are weak in the observance of one mitzvah, it will weaken you also. Shenemar Yisra Pesa. It says simply Yisra Pesa, which means Mikol Bokim. In any case, Omer Rab Safra Rabbo Havah Mishtoi Kisherat Chanino. I only have an interesting story right now. Okay. Okay, here's a story about, we understand, it says that even the one thing, if you are slack, then it's going to weaken you, you know, when it comes to having to stand up for your beliefs, for your faith and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we have a story which is very interesting, and it's about a Rabbi Chanina, okay? But this is not Rabbi Chanina, let's say that it's Rabbi Hananya. Well, there's a difference of opinion as to which one it is, okay? But let's keep the text as we have over here. It says, Kishiyorad Chanino ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua la Gola. Chanino, who was the son of Rabbi Yoshua's brother, in other words, he was a nephew to Rabbi Yoshua. He went down to the Gola, which means to Babylonia, right? All right, so first of all, we have to ask ourselves, why did he go from Eretz Yisrael to Babylonia? So the answer is, if you remember, that after the Bar Kokhba revolution failed against the Romans killed many, many people, and not only that, but you know, as we had with the story of Rabbi Akiva, many Jews fell as martyrs, including, you know, the great leaders, great Talmidei Chachamim among the Jewish people. So at this particular time, Chanino, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, escaped to Babylonia. Okay? And Hoyim Haber Shonim Kaveh Kadoshim Mechutzal Oretz. And he started to Ma'aber Shonim. Now, you know what that means. That means that you have to decide and declare when is it going to be a leap year. Okay? And the other one is Kaveh Kadoshim. Also, you know, to establish when is Rosh Chodesh, because it's important for us. We don't know, you know. If we know when it's Rosh Chodesh, then we can figure out when is the date of Hanukkah, or even more important, when is the date of Rosh Hashanah, when is the date of Yom Kippur, and so on and so forth, okay? When is Pesach come? These things have to be determined by our knowledge of when is Rosh Chodesh, okay? Is it one day Rosh Chodesh, or 2 days Rosh Chodesh? I mean, now, how was it done all along? It was always done in Eretz Yisrael. While the temple was in existence, it was done by the Sanhedrin, who met in the Lishkas HaGospes, okay? They met in literally the chamber of hewn stone. Afterwards, they still continued, even after the destruction of the temple, they continued to do it in Yavne. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have the story, if you remember, about Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, we had way back around chapter 4, chapter 5, I think it was chapter 4, if I'm not mistaken, where about the how Rabbi Gamliel shamed Rabbi Yeshua because Rabbi Yeshua said that Yom Kippur occurs on a different day. This agreed with the interpretation of Rabbi Gamliel, and so Rabbi Gamliel shamed him by asking him to come on the day when everybody else was observing Yom Kippur, and Rabbi Yeshua had to come dressed, you know, with his vachadika clothes and carrying his stick and his money belt with him and so on and so forth, and he shamed him. Okay. So, at any rate, we see, you know, that Rabbi Gamliel, who certainly was after the destruction, well, you know, that he was before, there were different Gamliels, you have to know. Mm-hmm. There's the original Gamliel, then there's the second, the third, etc., okay? All right, now, they continue then to be Ma'aber Shonim and so on. But what happened during this period of persecution? So, Chanina took it upon himself to do it in Babylonia, which strictly speaking was out of bounds. It should not have been done there, but he felt that he had to carry on the tradition because he was the Godel Hador, so to speak, right? He was the great scholar of the generation, and nobody else was qualified to do it. So this is what he did. Look, what happened in the meantime there is Israel. There is Israel. You have to imagine the fact that a new generation of Talmidei Chachamim now has arisen, and they want to reassert the prerogatives of the Beis Din and Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, right? So what happened? Shagur Acharav Shnei Talmidei Chachamim. So the sages in Eretz Yisrael sent two Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, and also the grandson, Ben Beno, the grandson of Zechariah ben Kibbutz. Okay, who lived in temple times yet. So this was already the third generation after the destruction, since the destruction, okay? Kevin Sheroosom, as soon as he saw them, Omar Lahem, he said to them, Loma Bosem, why have you come? So it should really be say, Omar Lahem, well, or it could be on the way, all right. But anyway, either means he, whoever was talking, said unto him, or maybe it should have been, you know, Amalei, they said it to him. They said, anyway, Lilmo Torah Bono, we have come in order to learn Torah. In other words, we have come because we want to learn Torah from you. Okay? So, Hichriz Aleihem, so he made a public announcement concerning them. Adnoshim Halolo Gedolei Hadorheim. He says, these people, he says, they are the greatest scholars of the generation. Vavoseihem Shimshu Beves HaMikdosh. Not only that, but their ancestors used to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? The Osir Shoah, Ke Osir Shoshanino, even as we have learned in the Gemara in Yuma, it says, Zechariah ben Kvilach, it's a Mishnah, says, Zechariah ben Kvut Olomer, he says, Harbei Piyomim Karisi, the Fonim Sefer Doniel. Here they're talking about the service. Remember the Kohen, as I mentioned previously, had to be set aside Erev Yom Kippur, right, the Kohen Gadol, and they would keep him up all night long so that nothing should happen to him, and in order to occupy his time, they would read different books. So Zechariah ben Kvutl says, times, there are times when I would read the book of Daniel to the Kohen Gadol. So obviously then Zechariah ben, you know, the grandson is a miyuchas, right? Because presumably Zechariah ben Kabutel was probably a Kohen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who is the other guy? Chanino. So we'll see. He happened to be a Levi. He was descended from, not Chanino. Yeah, Chanino, the guy who, he was descended from Levim. Okay. All right, anyway, we'll come to this. so far you get the picture. They come, they tell him, we've come here to learn Torah from you. So what does he say? He boasts about the fact that these are the greatest scholars of the generation, and here they come in order to learn Torah from me. Okay? So, let's take a look and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, he began to declare that certain things were Tomei, right? And they said, no, it's Tohor. Hu oser? He would say, this is prohibited. The Hematir? And they would say, no, it's permitted. So, Hichriz Alehem. So he said to, you know, he made an announcement concerning him. He says, Hanoshim Halonu Shal Shovheim, Shal Tohoheim. These people, he says, they're not worth anything. Omru lo. So they said to him, Kibor Bonisa, Yato Yacholista. You've already given us a big build-up. You said that we were the greatest scholars of the generation. So now you can't go and, you know, backtrack on that. Okay? Kibor Godarta, you've already put up a fence, Yato Yacholifrots, and you cannot break it down now. So Omal ahead. So he said unto them, if they ma'adim et tamei v'yatem et harim, and the Yosef v'yatem atirim. So he says, tell me then, why is it that when I declare that something is tamei, you say it's tamei. I say it's prohibited, and you say it's permitted. So Omalo, so they said to him, v'nei shatom ma'abir shom v'kereshon chadosh b'chusev. The reason being because you are declaring, you know, figuring out when it's an Iber Yor, when it's a leap year, and you're also pronouncing when it's Rosh Chodesh, and you're doing it in the Chutzal Aretz, and of course it should be done only in Eretz Yisrael. So Omar Lahem, so he said to them, Halo Akiva ben Yosef, we have a case that Akiva also, although there's some question exactly how he did it, but apparently maybe he had one foot out of the boundary of Eretz Yisrael again, because he was on the run from the Romans, but it was necessary to declare that this was going to be an Iber Yor. Gemara in Sanhedrin explains, you know, what they used to determine as to when to declare an Iber Yor. But they would see, you know, that, for example, grain wasn't ripe yet, the animals still hadn't foaled yet, you know, they didn't ripe. So therefore, you know, it was a little too early yet, so that was part of the reason, you know, to add an additional amount. You know, they didn't have the calendar the way we had.
The way
they worked, right. But, you know, they worked on observation. So Akiva felt it was necessary to do it, and he did it, even though he had like one foot out of Eretz Israel. So Amrullo, so they said to him, Anach Rabbi Akiva, Shalom Niyachim Moshav Israel, says, don't compare yourself to Rabbi Akiva, because there was no one in Eretz Israel who was as great as he. So Omar Lehem, he said to them, Afanilu Nata Kemos Eretz Yisrael. He says, hey, I was the greatest scholar in Eretz Yisrael. So Omar Lehem, so they said to him, Gedim Shein Nachta, Nasus Yoshim Balei Kanayim. He says, you know, those little kids that you had left behind in Eretz Yisrael, now they're real he-goats with horns and everything else. In other words, you know, we now have a new generation, a new crop of students who have grown up. So now we have great people there at Israel. And, you know, you can pride yourself upon what you did in the past, but don't think that...
You're still the greatest.
Right. The Heim Shigunu Es Bechor. And they were the ones who sent us to you. The Chein Omrulon, and likewise they sent them to us. The Chuli Imbulo Bishmeinu. Go, tell them in our name. Im Shemeya Mutov, if he listens to you, good. In other words, you know, stop doing this, what he's doing now, be in love. But if not, Yehei B'ni Dui, then he's going to be excommunicated. This is the warning that they're giving him. The Imru L'Acheinu Shemagola, likewise, tell our brothers in the Gola, right? Rashi adds, Shelo Yishmulo, that they shouldn't pay any attention to what he's saying. And Im Shomin Mutov, if they listen to what we're saying, good. Be involved, and if not, Yanu Lahar, Achiyo Yivnen is Beat, and then you're not gain the Kinor, Yechapru Chulo. The Yomru in Lunu Chelek and Ahiyas Chore. Tell the people that if they do not listen to what we say, in other words, they do what he says and not, you know, what the people in Israel are telling them to do in this particular case, then in that case, go ahead, go up to a mountain someplace, and Achiyo, who, you know, is one of the followers of Hananya. This is why I say that Hananya makes more sense than the Chanidla instead of the previous page, mm-hmm. Okay? But Achiyo, let him build an altar, because this Achiyo happened to be a Kohen, and Hananya, lay an Agamichinor, all right, let him, let him play on the harp. Because don't forget, what did Levium do? He was a lady. So in the Beis HaMikdash, you know, Levium played instruments, they sang and so on, okay? So good, go, build your own little temple someplace, and let them establish their own Mizbeach and everything else, right? V'chapru chulam or v'yichparu chulam, it's probably yichparu is more correct. And let them all say that they do not believe in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, right? The Yomru, and let them say, Ein lahem chelek ben HaYisrael, that they have no share in the God of Israel. So miyad, immediately, go al kol ha'om in the kiyos. The entire people, you know, in Golan and Babel, when they heard these words, they began weeping. The Yomru, and they said, Chas v'sholom, God forbid, they said, Yesh lahem chelek ben HaYisrael, of course we have a share in the God of Israel, we believe in God. Alright, so now the Gemara says, why did they have to go to this extent, you know, to threaten them with excommunication and everything else? It says, Mishum Shenemar, because the Torah says, because it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, it says, Ki Mitzion Peisei Zoro Unvar Hashem Yerushalayim, that the Torah has to go forth from Zion, and the word of God has to come forth from Yerushalayim. That has to be the spiritual center, okay? Now they say, Bishlamo hu mitar vehem etamin l'chuma. Alright, he says that it's okay, right? He said it was tohor, and they say, no, it's tome. So, alright, we can understand. So they were saying, alright, you know, they wanted to be more machmir, so to speak, okay? But, Elohu mitame, if he said, you know, that it was tome, vehem etarim, and they say, no, it's alright, echi chava, how is this possible? The whole tells you, didn't we learn that it's written, Chochem Shetime, if a scholar says that it's Tomei, in Chaver Rosh HaNatahir, then his fellow, you know, rabbi cannot say that it is Tohar. Osar, if he said it's Osar, then in Chaver Rosh HaNatahir, his fellow Rav cannot say that, you know, it's permissible. In other words, he cannot go shopping for different opinions. Not only that, but, you know, it's also from a question of authority. If the Rav says this, you shouldn't, you know, embarrass him by saying, you know, something to the contrary to him. Even when he's wrong. And even if he's wrong, so, you know, tell him privately that he made a mistake.
Okay.
Yeah. And convince him, you know, that he didn't do right. But, you know, to shame him in public, this is not right, okay? Kosabre, so they were of the opinion, they wanted to make sure that people would not follow him. That's the reason why they acted in what seemed to us to be a little bit high-handed. So, you know, in order to destroy his authority, this was a special reason for doing it. You could say to a certain extent that perhaps they considered it was like an eislasist. It's a time that they have to make a change in order to preserve the centrality of the Bezdin in Yerushalayim, which had the authority until finally it came to an end. Tana Rabbanan. Our sages taught, Kishanichtis or Abbasin and Kerem Yavnim, when our sages came, entered literally into the vineyard in Yavnim. What is the vineyard in Yavnim? So Rashi gives two different opinions, which I'll tell you right now, we don't have to look. One opinion is that actually it was a vineyard where they met, and the other one is that it was really like a synonym for the place where the Sanhedrin was meeting in Yavne. because they sat in rows and rows, like what you see, you know, if you plant, if you ever been to a vineyard, you see that how they plant the vines row after row.
How many were there in the Sanhedrin?
The Sanhedrin, 71.
71.
But also they had Talmidim. They also had Talmidim. These were the appointed people, but there wasn't, you know, in addition, you had the Talmidim who would also sit over there. And when there were cases, you'd actually have like a court stenographer.
Yeah, but
so
the people who issued decrees.
Right. The official Sanhedrin was 71. It could be 23 for a murder case or something like that, but for the most important cases, you needed 71. So when they came there, Hoyu Shah, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yechem, Rabbi Elezer, Benosha, Rabbi Yosef. These were four of the great scholars who came to Yafta. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yechem, Rabbi Elezer, the son of Rabbi Yosef. Postul kolam bechoyd afsanya. And then each one gave a different, like a little lecture, a little drash, in honor of the host town, so to speak, the afsanya. Sanya means literally the inn where they're staying. In other words, but they wanted to show, their appreciation for the welcome that Yavne gave to them, that they could come and settle and learn over here. Okay, so each one got up to say something. All right, the first one was Posach Rabbi Yehuda Rosh Hamadabim, the Chomokim. He was like the head speaker among everywhere. All right, and Bichvod Torah. He was the first one also to speak about, you know, to honor the Torah and also upon these people, Dorash. And he gave the following drash. Says, Moshe Yikaf es Elohel, says, Moshe would take the tent, v'notoloi mechus l'machaneh, and he would put it outside the camp. It's written over there, you know, after the business with the Yegel HaZohar, you know, the golden calf, that Moshe took the Ohel Moed and he placed it outside the camp. Okay? Because he felt, you know, that at the moment the camp had become Tomei because of the worship of the golden calf. Right. So, V'alodavum Kalvachemet. And can't we therefore, you know, from this we can learn something else? Ma'aron Hashem Shalohim Aruchok Elishneim Osamil. Just as the Ark of God was only 12 miles distant from where? From the center of the camp. Actually, you know, because it said it was over there, right? How do we know that? Rashi says because we have a tradition that the entire camp of Israel was Sholosh Parsos or Sholosh Parsos. In other words, it was three parasangs by three parasangs. In other words, they occupied a square area of a nine parasang. A parasang is much more than a mile. Okay, parasang was the Roman, the Persian measure of distance. Whereas the Romans, of course, used the miles, their measure of distance. So that, therefore, we know that the three parasangs was equal to 12 miles. Each parasang was the equivalent of 4 miles in distance. Okay?
Equivalent of 4 miles.
4 miles, right. Okay? So it was only 12 miles away, and over Torah, and yet the Torah said, "Vayokum avakish adishem yetsa el Ohel Moed," that whoever would seek God would go out to the Ohel Moed. In other words, people didn't hesitate to go there. So Talmidei Chachomim, the sages, the students of the sages, Sheholchim a year and bin v'dinum Torah, who wander from city to city and from land to land in order to learn Torah, Alachas Kama Vechama. All the more so that they should wander and honor, you know, give honor to the Torah and the place where the Torah is being taught. And since they started on that, so they give more psukim, the same parsha. But Dibar Hashem and Moshe ponim el ponim. The Lord spoke to Moshe face to face. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, Omer Yakori Baruch Hu the Moshe. Ben Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, Ani V'Atua. I and you, Nasmi Ponim Bahaloha. Literally, it means we will show, a joyous countenance in Halacha. Of course, today, the Hasbir means to explain. And maybe it still has the idea over here, Nasmi Ponim. But also, you have the idea of Seva Ponim Yofas, as we have it in Pirkei Avos. where Shammai says that the kabel is kol ha'odom, welcome every person to save upon the office with an expression of joy, of gladness. Okay, so here apparently the accent is upon the gladness that Rabbeinu Shalom says, Moshe, you and I will be joyous in giving, you know, teaching halacha. Ikad yamre. There are those who say, Kachamar le'akadosh baruch hu Moshe, that this is what he said. Kishem shani is brati lecho ponim. Let me take the second opinion first, where I said that the halacha means, you know, that we can explain, you know, the different phases of the halacha, you know, the different, you know, what the halacha deals with, the different dinyanim. Okay, so that's one interpretation. The other one apparently would be the second one that I gave you, namely that the Rabbeinu Shalom said to Moshe, Kishem Shani is Badil for Ponim, just as I have shown, you know, a joyous countenance unto you, Kachata Hasbe Ponim Israel. So you should also show a joyful countenance to the people of Israel. Vahachseh Hovelim Kaman, bring back the tent to where it was. And therefore, the Pasuk then says, Vishom El Machaneh, that Moshe returned to the camp and presumably returned together with the Ohel Moed. This shows, you know, that Moshe was willing, you know, to be happy once more with the people of Israel, and because the master, the teacher is angry and the Talmud is angry. Yisrael matei aleihem, what will happen to the Jewish people? In other words, if they see that the Rabbeinu Shalom is angry with the people of Israel because of the Egel Hazob, right, and Moshe Rabbeinu is also angry with the people, then what will happen? He'll lose the people of Israel. If you return the Yohil to its place, good. But if not, then you know what? Yehoshua ben Nun talmidecha mishor is hachtecha. Then in that case, Yehoshua ben Nun, your pupil, he will serve instead as the leader in place of you. Yehoshua ben Nun nar loyomish betohohil. I skipped the line.
Yeah.
The Hainu Ditziv, right. And this is the meaning, therefore, where the Pasuk says, Veshovel HaMachaneh, right, that Moshe then returned to the camp. Omer Rava. Rava said, Af HaPK, nevertheless, Lo Yotza Ado Levatola. Nevertheless, it didn't wind up as being, you know, an idle statement. Shenem Aris, it says, Imsharaso Yeshub Binar Binud Nar, that is, the person who served Moshe was Yehoshua ben Nun, a young man, lo yomish betochel, and he never left the ohel. Okay? So, in other words, at first it was like a threat to Moshe, that if you don't do your job, then Joshua will do it, right? And then the second one is, you know, that this was not idle, because eventually what happened? Joshua stayed in the Ohel Moed, he learned from Moses how to govern the people of Israel, and then he succeeded him as the leader. So it was not Levatol. Okay. The Yod Pasuk Rab Yehuda Bechvei Torah, and another drasha that he gave in honor of Torah, the Dorash, and he gave the following drasha, says, the Pasuk says in the Devarim, Haskes Ushma Yisrael, which we translate, hearken and hear, O Israel, right? Hayom Hazen Yisrael Yod. This day you have become a nation. So the Gemara asks, "V'chiyosa Yom Nitna Torah Yisrael?" Was the Torah given to Israel on this very day? "V'aloso Yom," wasn't that day? So far, Boim Shana, was at the end of the 40 years, because this, remember, we find, you know, towards the end of the Torah. Okay,
right.
So 40 years. So how can we say, you know, today you have become a nation? So the answer is, but this is the teacher, that the Torah is beloved by those who learn it every single day, even as the very day it was given to Mount Sinai. So that every day should be a day in which we express our love through the study of Torah, and the Torah is beloved by us every day. It's a new experience every single day. Tanchum, the son of Rav Chiya, who came from the village of Akko, he said, Teda, you should know, Sha'arei Odom Kori Kriyashma, Shachmas V'Yavis, right?
A person can read Krishna every single morning and every single evening. The Erev Echad Eino Kore. And one night he forgets to read Krishna. So Domer Kimishale Kore Kriya Shema Miola. It's similar as if he had not ever read Krishna. In other words, the feeling that you get for having missed saying Krishna, you know, let's say you were tired, you went to sleep, and you hadn't davened. Believe me, this is one of the advantages of coming to daven with a minion. Because when you're with a minion, you know that you're davening. If you decide that you'll daven at home by yourself, sometimes you're pooped and you say, all right, I'll do it after I have supper, or first I want to watch this program, or let me take a nap first, or whatever it may be, then I'll wake up. I mean, we're all familiar, we all have these problems, right? So you miss Krishna and you suddenly realize what has happened. It's as if, you know, you had missed it, for God knows how long, you know, because every little bit is important. Okay, vital. Now, Krishna Yalam, right, is never said, right, as if he had never read Krishna. Then he goes back again to Haske Sushma, okay? He says, you know what Haskes means? He says, it means Asu Kitos Kitos. Establish groups and groups. The Iskuba Torah and learn Torah. In other words, learn Torah in groups. Lefishein HaTorah Niknei Sele B'Chabura. Because the Torah cannot really be acquired well unless it is through companionship. In other words, you have to study together. Ked Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanino. Even as Rabbi Yossi said in the name of Rabbi, the son of Rabbi Chanino, the Omer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanino, said, "My dichsir, what is the meaning of the verse which says, Cherev al Habadim bino olu, Cherev el Habadim bino olu, which means a sword upon those who are Badim, they become foolish." The question is only what does Badim mean, but I'll take it in the sense in which they understand it over here. Here they take it in the sense of, like the word levad in Hebrew. What does levad mean? Alone.
Alone.
Alone, right.
Yeah.
Okay, bilvad, levadi, etc., etc. It means alone. So, in other words, the drash is over here that people who study Torah only by themselves but not together with others, v'no alu, cherev al soneim shal tamidei chachomim, like a sword comes literally to the enemies, the Talmidei Chachamim, but it means to the Talmidei Chachamim themselves. This is a Ashen Oloshen, as we would say. Sheyoshim Bad Bavad, who sit by themselves, they sit, you know, each one separately, Yoskim Bad Torah, and they study Torah. So this is no good. The sword will come. In other words, you know, it's the wrong way to do it. Below Od, and not only that, Eloshim Atapshim. Not only that, but they're going to become foolish. Ksiv hachav in the walu, right? Here the pasuk says in the walu, which means that they will become foolish. Ksiv hasam, and we have another pasuk which says, asher nawalnu. This is when, Aaron begs Moshe Rabbeinu to forgive Miriam and Aaron for the fact that they had spoken against him. He says, you know, asher chotonu, right? Asher nawalnu, asher chotonu. You know, we have acted foolishly and we have sinned. So we see then that right. So we see a connection with the Lord El Shakotim, right? In other words, foolishness leads to what? Leads to sin. So that if people study Torah by themselves but don't share it with others, then you know, it means also that they're not sharing their opinions, their ideas, that, you know, others could discuss it with them and add more light to it and things like that. So, in that particular case, they're not only going to become foolish in that, you know, they may not understand the Torah correctly if they only rely upon themselves, right? But Asher Chatanu, it will bring them to sin also. Because if you can't interpret the Torah correctly, then you're liable to do the wrong thing. If you wish, you can take it from this pasuk. Suppose again Yeshayahu, which says that the princes of Tov, meaning the princes of Egypt, have become fools. All right. Now, in other words, another proof that the word Dovah. Now, Dovah Rachir, another interpretation of Haskes of Shema Yisrael. Okay? He says, Haskes reminds us of the word Kates. In other words, cut, literally. Katsu Atzchem al Divrei Torah. In other words, you should butcher yourselves with words of Torah. In other words, don't think that the Torah is going to come easy, but you have to work hard and suffer if necessary in order to learn Torah. Kido Omar Rish Lakish, as Rish Lakish said, Omar Rish Lakish, Minayin.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, Minayin She'ein Divrei Torah, Miskayim Melamisha Memisatz Be'olecha. How do we know that words of Torah will be preserved only by one who is willing to offer his life for the Torah? Shenemar, as it's written, Zos HaTorah, this is the Torah, Odom Ki Yamus Be'ohel, if a man dies in the tent. Of course, you know, this is a drash on it, but we can understand, I mean, that you have to be willing to sacrifice in order to be able, you know, to really grasp Torah. Of course, that doesn't mean that if we're not willing to sacrifice, we shouldn't learn Torah. But what it means is that, you know, those who really sacrificed in order to teach Torah, to learn Torah, to teach Torah, they're the ones, you know, who essentially will be the ones who will keep the Torah alive. Right. All right? Dover Acher, another interpretation again of Haskei Shema Yisrael. Has, be quiet. The achakach kates, and after that, then formulate the ideas. Kidarava, even as Rava said, the Yom Rava, the Olam Yulmodonim Torah. First, the person should study Torah. The achakach yege, and after that, he should literally meditate in it. In other words, after you study Torah, then you have to begin to dig deeper into the Torah. This is how Rashi understands. He says, "Yeah, you should look deeper into it." So you have to learn it first. And after you've learned it, you know, so to speak, like a text, then after that you have to go over it and
analyze it.
To really analyze it and understand it better and stuff. Amri Devei Rabbi Yanai, they said in the name of Rabbi Yanai, in the house, literally, the students of Rabbi Yanai, my Devsiv, what is the meaning of? Ki mitz cholov yotzi chemo, that the, literally, the squeezing, in other words, mitz is like a verbal noun over here, but in modern Hebrew, I don't have to tell you what mitz means. Means juice today, right? Because what do you have to do? You have to squeeze it, okay? But here the literal meaning is that the squeezing of milk will bring forth butter. In other words, if you squeeze it long enough, or you turn it long enough, it's going to bring butter. Well, it's up, and if you squeeze your nose off enough, you know, hot enough, then yotzi dam, then it's going to bring forth blood, or bring to, you know, a nosebleed. Well, it's up, and squeezing anger, because apayim, literally the nose, you know, the nostrils, the apayim, you know, but this is a synonym for anger. So if you squeeze anger, in other words, you have to wring out all the anger, then yotzi riv, then it's going to bring out arguments, quarreling, and so on. But miato motzi chemo shel Torah, where do you find literally the butter of the Torah? But mi shemeki cholov. It's in the person who literally can spit up the milk that he sucked in from the breast of his mother in the study of Torah. It's a very poetic image, but you have to understand what he's saying. What he means is that you learn Torah from the earliest youth, from the time that your mother is already feeding you her own breast milk. You're already beginning to learn Torah at that time. So you will eventually wind up with the chemosh of Torah. In other words, the fatness, the butter of, you know, the fatness of Torah. The daftekite of Torah. Okay? Well, Nitzav Yotzi Dam, it says, Kol Talmid Shekoyes Alov Rabbo, every student where the rabbi becomes angry with him, Pam Mishona, the first time, Mishosei, but the student, you know, is quiet, he does not react, then eventually you'll become a great enough scholar to know what is the difference between blood which is impure or unclean and blood which is clean. Of course, this is a very important business when it comes to the laws of Nida. you know, a woman who becomes menstrual, right, that you have to, a woman has to examine herself, and there is a question, you know, whether she's menstruant or not, she has to show it to the Chacham, and he has to look at it, and there are certain signs to tell whether it was simply, let's say, a mucus discharge that she found, or whether it's really blood. So the mucus discharge is, would be like dam tohor, that would be clean blood. The other one would be dam tomei, and of course then, you know, she becomes unavailable to her husband, right? Okay? So, you become a great chacham if your rabbi becomes angry with you, and you know, you don't become angry in return, but you simply you keep quiet, and you accept his rebuke. Okay. Now, how about the next one? Umnitza paim yotzi briv, which means, as we said before, that squeezing anger will bring to quarrels. He says, Talmid shekoyes alav rabo paim rishona ushniya l'shosek. If you have a student whose rebbe becomes angry with him the first time and the second time, l'shosek, and even though he's been rebuked more than once, he still remains silent, then zoche, he will eventually be worthy enough, lahavchin ben dinei momenos and nefashos. He'll be able to know how to paskin the various dinim pertaining to the dinei momenos. These are laws, which have to deal with money, money disputes. As to compared to dinei nefashos, these are trials where, where the person is liable for capital punishment. Yes. Yeah. So in other words, you become a great expert in this particular field. David, you had a question?
No.
Okay.
I had an interesting
Yeah. Did none?
You learned to be quiet just like
a... Oh, well, it's all right.
Talk up.
But remember, we also said, "Shalom habai shalomei," that if a person is ashamed to us, he's not going to learn either. So you have to be, it's a combination of give and take. The Rebbe has not to get angry on his student. It's not right either. But if he gets angry, the student shouldn't be bashful. But he shouldn't rebuke the Rebbe. But, ask him when the Rebbe's calmed down, then, okay. All right? So, was on the meal now? Yeah. The Tanan, as we have learned, this is Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Harotza she is hakein. If a person wants to become wise, Yatok v'dinei momenos, then he should become expert in the various laws pertaining to monetary matters, monetary quarrels and things like that. She'en l'chol miktsoa b'torah yoseh mehen, right? Because you have no other subject matter in the Torah which is more intense than this, she'en k'mayin ha'nevir, because they are like a fountain which always flows. In other words, when you study Baba Kama, Baba Basra, Baba Tzi, and so forth, and you deal with, the various things, labor law, and, disputes concerning what you find, and, objects that are lost, and real estate laws as in Baba Basra, and partnership as Baba Basra deals with, and things like that. So, if you deal in this, you'll find that it's a continual flowing fountain. It's always something new that you have to learn, that you have to consider, you have to go over. So this is how you become a chacham. You're always stimulated to learn. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Achmeini, my dechsev im nevaltem is nasei, that if you have acted foolishly by sort of like, becoming a big shot, literally by raising yourself, the yim zavosa yad lefer, and if you say something nasty, you should put your mouth, you should put your hand on your mouth and hold it in. Call him an abel atzma on divrei Torah. Whoever is willing to literally like humble himself over here, the words of Torah, sofa nisnase, eventually he will rise to prominence. The yim's a mom, but if on the other hand, he wants to say something which is not right, then yod lapeh, let him put his hand on his mouth. Okay. Think we can get to the end of the page?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Sure.
All right. Kosaf Rav Nechemya v'chvod Achsanya. So now we have the next group of drushes given by Rav Nechemya, honoring the Kerem B'yavdin. V'dorash. His drush is, my dechsev, what is the meaning of Vayomer Shoel al-Kaini, that Shoel said to the Kainite, L'chu, Surah Redum Toch HaMoleki, go and leave, depart from the midst of the Amalekites, Henosif Chaimo, lest, you know, I'll kill you. In other words, I'll destroy you, lest I destroy you together with the Amalekites. The Torah sees a chesed in Kobanei Yisrael, inasmuch as you perform kindness with all the children of Israel. Now, of course, remember, who was the Kani? Talking about Yisrael. Yisrael, okay? Yisrael was the Kani. So, inasmuch as Yisrael was, you know, he showed the kindness to Moshe Rabbeinu, so therefore, you know, he did chesed with the people of Israel, therefore his descendants, the Canaanites, were spared by Shaul. And of course, this is like a Kal V'chomer. Inasmuch, just as Yisrael welcomed Moshe only for his own glory, so likewise, someone who welcomes a Talmud Chacham into his home, umachilo, he feeds him, mashkehu, and he gives him to drink, minahehu, minachotzav, and he lets him enjoy the various possessions. So he gives him the tzeleven, the tzemachan 11, alachatz kama v'chama, all the more so. The question is only, what is the ma'yisro shel yikor of Moshe l'chloidatzav? Because the question is, are we referring to the fact when Moshe Rabbeinu was fleeing from Egypt? And how would you say he did only for his own glory? So in that case, we would have to say maybe he did it only because he had seven daughters and he was looking for somebody to marry at least one of his daughters, which of course Moshe Rabbeinu did. He married Zipporah. Okay.
Sorry, I don't understand. Is it his Atzma refers to Moshe or Yisrael?
No. First to Yisrael. He says Yisrael did it through an ulterior motive. That he welcomed Moshe, right?
Right.
But people who welcome Talmidei Chachamim with generous, you know, with generosity, and they do everything for them, all the more so that they are going to be given their reward, even as Shaul gave a reward to the Canaan, you know, the Canaanites, because of the fact that they had shown kindness to the people of Israel. Okay. Pasach Rabbi Yosef b'chvod Achsanya. Now Rabbi Yosef gives his drasha. The Chdorash, he gave the following drasha: Lo sisayev adomi ki achichachu. You should not despise an Edomite because he is a brother, right? Lo sisayev mitzri, you should not despise the Egyptian, ki ger ho yisa b'yadzo, because you are a stranger in his land. Okay? Alo devorim kal v'chomer. And again, we can learn the kal v'chomer. Ma mitzrayim, or mitzriim, which is a better translation here, even as the Egyptians. They welcome the Jews only for their own benefit. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says concerning Pharaoh, it says, V'yim Yodata. Pharaoh says to Yaakov Avinu, if you remember, that if you know, the Yesh Baman Sheikhayel, that there are among the sons of Jacob, you know, men of valor, the Samtam Sari Mikael Asheli. This is what he said to Yosef when Yosef said, you know, that he has brought his family to Egypt. So you are to make them into people in charge of my cattle, right? So, in other words, when the Egyptians welcomed the Jews, they did so not because they loved the Jews, but because they wanted to put them to work. So they had ulterior motives. Nevertheless, what did the Torah say? You should not despise the Egyptian kiger ho yisabiyatza, because you're a stranger in his land. So kach, likewise then, hamareach talmud chacham isoch beisam. If a person welcomes a talmud chacham into his home, umachilo, mashkehu, mahanehu, minachosav, you know, and he gives him to eat, to drink, and he gives him to enjoy, you know, the various things that he has to offer him. Allah has come alcham, all the more so. Posach Rabbi Elezer ben Yosef ben Yosef Aglili, Bichvod Achsanya, now his drasha, Vidorash, and he said, Vayevorach ad Hashem is Oved Edom Agiti Vavur Aron Halehi. It's written in the text, if you remember, that the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, right? And it remained over there. during the time that Saul reigned, the Philistines had it, and only after David became king, he was able to defeat the Philistines in battle, and he decided that one of the first things that he had to do is to bring back the Ark of God. Well, actually, it's not quite the way the sequence. Sequence was that the Philistines captured it, and then a plague broke out among them. So they decided to get rid of it, and so they put it on a cart with wagons and so on. Cool. And finally it wound up in the house of Obed-Edom Hagiti. Okay?
Was that at the time of Shaul? I thought that was more the time of Shmuel.
That was the time of Shmuel, correct. Right. But what did David do? David wanted now, the time had come, to get it from the house of Obed-Edom Hagiti, to get it from his house and bring it to Yerushalayim. That's what he wanted to do, if you remember. Okay? So he says again, it's written that God blessed the home, right, of Obed-Edom Hagiti because of the fact that the Ark of God had stayed in his home. Right, just as the Aron Kodesh, it doesn't eat, it didn't eat, it didn't drink anything, right? Elo kovad v'rovatz nefanov, but all that it had to do was just, you know, to clean a place and to have a resting place. That's all that it did. So kacham areach tamet chokham b'sot beso makidu mashkim aneim in the poso alachas kam v'chav. So those who actually have to feed and, you know, give drink and enable others to enjoy, all the more reason that they should be blessed by God. Mayhi brocho sheberchom. And what is the bracha that was given to Obed-Edom Hagiti? What bracha exactly took place? So Omer Rav Yehuda Bar Zvida, Rav Yehuda Bar Zvida says, Zu chamos v'ches kalosev. He says that this was chamos and her eight daughters-in-law. In other words, she had eight sons, and naturally were married, so she had eight daughters-in-law. She yoldu shisha shisha b'keres echad. The bracha was that they gave birth to multiple births, literally six at a time, but maybe not six at a time. Certainly, they all had at least six children. They had six children apiece. Shenemar, as it is written, and this is taken now from Divrei Hayomim, where we have all kinds of genealogies among Divrei Hayomim, and it says, Pulasi Hashmini. Pulasi was the eighth one. So from this we know that there were eight sons, right? Ufsiv. And it's written, Ki Beracho Elikim, that God had blessed him, and called Ela Nibinei Oveid Edom Rahema. But all of these sons who were blessed were the descendants of Oveid Edom, Ubinehem Achehem, right? And their children and their brethren and so on. And they were Anshechayel Bechoah. They were men of valor, la'avoda, that they were able to serve God, shishim v'shnayim li'oved gedom, Oved Edom. They had 62 descendants for Oved Edom. So this was the bracha that he had, you know, many, many grandchildren and descendants. Okay.
What is the Rosh Tevot, Ayin, Al, Kaf?
That's Al, Achaz, Kama, Bechama. All the more so. Al, Achas, Kamla Bachamla. So remember that means all the Muslims. Alright, so Yirtzeh Hashem, next week we will do the last lines over here. We'll meet at 6:45, okay?
No, it's not. I mean, you plan at the 8th night of Hanukkah.
Right.
6:45, okay, we'll just have to.
You want to make it 7? So we'll meet. I put down 6:45, but alright. If we say 6:45, maybe it'll take 7 o'clock until everybody gets together.
Well,
I'll be here at 6:45.
How long would it take to finish the?
I figure that these lines should probably go in about 15-20 minutes.
That's
I
quite
figure.
A bit. It's quite a bit.
It's a little bit, right.
I mean, you have.
You're
in third line from the top, right?
Third line from the top. You want to go to the Vita tonight? Another 5 minutes?
I would say so, yeah.
All right, so let's take another 5 minutes tonight.
So we don't.
Okay. All right. So now the Gemara says, Omer Rabbavin HaLevi. Rabbavin HaLevi said, Kolav Doichek Es HaShor Shor Dechata. He says that somebody tries to force the hour, which means he's trying to force good luck. Like you say, you know, Rabbeinu Shalom, I bought a lottery ticket, you better do something for me tonight, or I should win megabucks. So Shor Dechata, then in that particular case, luck is going to squeeze him. In other words, it's not going to be given to him, or you have to put it off. Okay? The chol had nidchet if they had shot. But if you don't force the good luck now, but you know, if you're willing to wait patiently, then shor nidachas mipanav. Then the time will come that your luck will change for good. Okay? Midarabba. And this we learn from the story about Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. They were two great contemporaries. The Rabbi Yosef Sinai. Rabbi Yosef was like Mount Sinai. In what sense? The answer is that he knew the halachas, he had a thorough knowledge of them. Right. But Rabba, Oker Horem, but Rabba was like somebody who could overturn mountains. In other words, he was very, very sharp. So, it's the Rikhalei Shato. So the time came when suddenly, you know, they had to make a decision. As the people had to make a decision about who was going to become the head of the yeshiva. Okay, should it be Rabba or should it be Rabbi Yosef? Okay. All right. So Sholchu Lahosam. So they sent to the scholars in Eretz Israel. We got a shiloh for you, right? Sinai v'Yoker Horem. When it's a question of a Mount Sinai as compared to somebody who can uproot mountains, right? Eizem Mehem Kodeh, who is the one who should be given precedence? Shokulahu. So they said to them, Sinai Kodeh. In other words, the precedence should be given to the one who has studied and knows the various laws. Why? Shakol Tzirich Nemore Chitaya. Because everybody has to come to whoever owns the wheat in order to buy. So in other words, if people want to know, you know, what is the halacha, what's the din, and everything else, they have to come to somebody who knows. So, in that case then, who should be chosen? Rav Yosef, right? Because he is the Sinai. Yeah. Afal Pichay, nevertheless, lo kibel alo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef did not accept being the Rosh Yeshiva. The Amri Lei, Kaldai, because literally the Chaldeans, in other words, the astrologers, had said unto him, Molach Tartin Shnin, you will reign only for 2 years. So he said, so why should I take, and you know, of course he believed, you know, their prophecy. So he said to himself, obviously, why should I become the head of the yeshiva and 2 years from now I'll be gone?
Yeah.
Let the other guy do it, right? Molach Rabbah Esmer Tatan Shin. You know, Rabbah was not subject to that prophecy. So he actually was the Rosh Hashiva for 22 years. Molach Rav Yosef Tatan Shin Afalka. And then after Rabbah died, so Rav Yosef finally became the Rosh Hashiva for 2.5 years. Kol Hanech Shonei, the Molach Rabbah. Now, we learned something very interesting about Rav Yosef. All these years that Rabba was actually the head of the academy, then Afilo Umno Levesa Nekora, then Rabbi Yosef never even called a physician, literally, let's say a physician, a barber, to his house. Instead, if he had to go to a Makis Dub, you know, he needed to have bloodletting, right? So he would go there rather than have him come to the house. In other words, he did not want to act in any way that would presume that he's high, you know, he has sorority, you know, he's a boss.
He was humble.
Right, he was humble because he felt Rabbah should be given all the derech eretz, all the covenant.
I don't understand that. He didn't go to a doctor's house?
No, on the contrary, he didn't say, let the doctor come to me.
He went to the doctor.
Right, he would go to the doctor himself in order to do it because he did not want to show that by being the head of the yeshiva, he therefore could exert authority over other people.
This was Rav Yosef.
Rabba was now the head of the, for 22 years he was the head of the yeshiva. So all these years that he was the head of the yeshiva, Rav Yosef did not act you know, like he wanted to assume authority. He was very humble in his actions.
All because he didn't want to take it away from
Rama. Exactly. He didn't want to take away covet from Rama. Yeah. Okay, shall we stop here now?
All right.
Good. All right, so next week we can finish this up. I'm sure we're going to have
all right,
a bit
from
yeah.
lower, now let's see, 9 lines from the top.
Tell you what, let's do another 2 lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I figure we ought to make it so easy.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
We'll
do 2 more lines.
Yeah.
Yoma Rabbi Yovan Alevi, another statement made by Rabbi Yovan Alevi, is that my mystery, what is the meaning of the pasuk which says, Yancha Hashem Yom Tzora, right? Let God answer you on the day of Tzora. Yisagev Koshim Yaakov, may the name of the God of Jacob raise you up on high. So it says, Elohei Yaakov, Elohei Avraham Yitzhak. How come the pasuk says the God of Jacob? Why doesn't it say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, right? So it says, Mikan Nabal HaKorah, Sheyikonis Barovia Shokorah. From this we learn that if a person has a bean that he has to set up, he has to set it up with the fixed spot of the bean. Meaning, very simply, that if you're going to call upon God, you have to call upon the one who had the most children, how Rashi explains it, the one who had the most children, who had the most sorrows, and therefore needed God's help more than anyone else. So go to him. This is the thick part of the beam, rather than playing around with the thin part.
In other words, he would be most pleased
right.
to intercede for you.
Correct.
God.
Correct. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
So B'yot Hashem, next week we complete Maseches Brachos. It's been a long journey.
11 lines from the
right.
11 lines from the top.
Right. And don't forget to call Sandy and make a reservation.
We've already done so. David and
yeah,
I have already
okay.
done so.
I mean, whoever hasn't done so, please
yeah.
do so. Okay.
6:45, Sam asked. 6:45, we come in here.
We'll come in over here. First,
yeah.
we'll finish this, and then I'll say the hadrat, you know, the prayers that we say over there.
Okay.
And then after that, we'll go in, and we'll make our motzi, and we'll eat, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll
and
have a drink,
I'll
we'll
say a
little.
Few words. I'm sure that the rabbi will say a few words.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
But I tried to cut down on the speeches.
It's all right.
Well, it'd be nice if you reviewed.
I'm for him to do it. I could have
right.
a tower, too.
Right. Yeah. right. Yeah.
So do you think we'd eat about 7:30 then? I'm just trying to time this for myself.
I hope that we can begin eating shortly after 7.
Shortly after
7, I hope
quarter,
it's Saudi.
Quarter to 7 here at 7.
Yeah, this is what I'm hoping it'll work out.
I
okay.
think that's wise planning.
Yeah.
yeah.
And if we start at 7, I hope we can begin before. But if we
yeah.
start at 7, then we'll probably go into eat at about 7:15, 7:20 or something like that. Okay?
Sounds
okay.
great.
Yeah.
So how does it feel here? 4.5 years.
It feels good, believe me.
Good.
Yep. That's why I want to do Tanis, so it won't take us 4.5 years to do that one. Be able to go through it in a year or two, tops. Thank you, thank you. Sam, what's a good word?
I'm going to go into New York tomorrow morning.
Oh.
I'll be New York and New Jersey from
yeah.
Monday.
Yeah.
I'll be gone the weekend. So
okay.
So
but you'll be
Monday,
back.
Monday.
I want to go in on Sunday, Mirz Hashem. I'll be here for the davening, maybe
yeah.
try a latke too, and then I want to go into New York so I can see my kindle
yeah.
also
no, yeah.
for at least a day of Hanukkah, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Have a good
thanks. Enjoy yourself.
Thanks.
Say hello to the kids.
I will.
And have a wonderful Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
I'm tired tonight.
yeah. Well, you did a lot.
Yeah.
I knew
yeah.
that these
yeah.
last few sessions.
Yeah.
I don't think you realize that you do.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I would first of all like to express a word of welcome to all of you who are here to join us in the Siyum this evening. It really is a bit of an accomplishment for us that we have spent some 4 years, according to Sam's reckoning, and we are very, very happy that we have now reached the completion of this particular treatise. We'll say a few words about brachas afterwards, but as you can tell from the name, brachas itself we know means blessings, but it deals with more than simply blessings. It deals with many different phases of Jewish worship, and also a sense of gratitude to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And I'll say a few words after we have a chance to sit down. I know we all have come here with appetites, and we've been working very, very hard over here. We put in double sessions. We even had a Sunday morning session a couple of weeks ago in order to make up ground, and last week we learned for more than 2 hours, so that tonight we'd be able to just come down to the final line and recite the special prayers and blessings that follow the completion of the Masechta. We are right now in the middle of Samach Dalet Lamed Aleph. For those of you who are not familiar with the Gemara itself has a text, and then the text is surrounded by commentaries, by Rashi's commentary, by Tosfos if there is Tosfos, and then by various marginal notes, and then of course also many, many great commentators have added their words of wisdom and explanation in what we call in the back of the Gemaras. This happens to be a text which only contains the actual text itself with Rashi and Tosfos. And we were dealing with some statements now made by one of the great scholars, Rabbi Oben Halevi. I have to tell you also that very often, you have to remember that the Talmud to begin with was learned orally. For generations, the various traditions were carried orally, they were memorized, and then they were transmitted in turn to scholars. And when the time came to finally put the Gemara into writing, to edit it, one of the ways in which they were able to remember various statements was to group statements made by the same author, even if they were not exactly related to each other. But if the author was this particular person, then they mentioned it. And then they go on to other statements as well. The Omer Rabbi Oven Halevi. So the Gemara tells us one of the sentences, of one of the statements made by Rabbi Oven Halevi, and he said, "Kol hanehene misu'udo, shetalmet chochem shorui besecho, kilu nehene misiv shkino." Very, very appropriate text for what we have this evening. What he says is, whoever enjoys the su'uda, you know, the su'uda, that's what we're having tonight. It's a special dinner in order to celebrate, in this particular case, the completion of the Torah, or for any other type of what we call a Seudas Mitzvah. So whoever enjoys a Seuda in which a Talmud Chacham is present there, he says it's Ki'ilu Nehene Mizim Shechina. It's as if he were actually enjoying the brightness of the Divine Presence. Shene'amar, and he brings a Pasuk from the Torah in order to demonstrate this point. The Pasuk deals with when Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu, came to visit. So it's written that at that particular point, by Yovoi Aharon, that Aaron came, the Chozikna Yisrael, and all the elders of Israel, and they all came le'achol lechem im choisein Moshe, to eat bread, of course it means to have a meal, together with the father-in-law of Moshe, who of course was Yisro, lifneho Elohim, in the presence of God. So the Gemara asked, "V'chi lifnei Elohim ochlu?" Is it possible that they ate their meal in the presence of God? V'alo lifnei Moshe ochlu? But what, rather, wasn't it that they ate their meal in the presence of Moshe? Moshe was the host over there. Elo lo malacho, but this pasuk is to teach us, kol hane'ene misudo shetamet chochem shorim b'secho, that whoever has the enjoyment of taking part in a Seuda where a Talmud Chacham is present there, it's as if he enjoys the very glory of the Divine Presence. The Yomar Rabbi Ovna Levi, another statement that he made. This time the statement is, Hanifta mechaveiro, when a person takes leave from his fellow man, so Al Yomar lo lech bishalom, he should not say to him, go bishalom, in peace, Elo lech lishalom, go towards peace. In other words, the idea being that when you wish someone shalom, he should continue to progress in the direction of peace. May he have many, many peaceful experiences in his life. And again, where is the proof? Shehare Yisro Shemalo Le Moshe. We see that when Jethro said to Moshe, he said to him, Lech L'Shalom, go to peace, literally. All over Yitzliach. So he actually was successful. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was successful in teaching Torah and in achieving his great mission in being the leader of the people of Israel. On the other hand, David, Sheomalo Avshalom, when David said to his son Absalom, and he said to him, Lech Bishalom, go in peace, what happened to Absalom? What was his fate? His fate was Halach Benisna. He went, and eventually he was hanged. Very dramatic story that we find in the book of Samuel, telling us how Absalom was riding on his donkey. He was escaping or trying to escape from the army of David that was pursuing him after Absalom's rebellion had failed, and he had tremendous hair, and the hair got stuck in a tree, and he just couldn't disentangle himself from it, and then the army of Job came and they put an end to his life. So we see that the blessing, Lech Bishalom, go in peace, did not turn out to be a blessing. In another statement, Yom Rabbi Oven Halevi, in another statement he makes, and he says, Haniftar min Hameis, if a person says farewell to the dead, as for example, you're escorting the dead to their final burying place, then in that case, Ayomar lo Lech Lishalom, don't say to him, go to peace, but rather, Elo, Lech Vishalom, go in peace. Shenemar, and the pasuk that we have in order to prove this is in reference to Avraham Avinu. Torah says that God says to him, this is of course in the famous dream that he had in connection with the Brisbane Absorption, he said to him, V'yato tovo el avosecho bishalom, you will go unto your ancestors in peace. In other words, you will have a good life, and your life will be blessed with eternal bliss and eternal peace. And so to the dead, this is the proper farewell that we say to them, Lech Bishalom. Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chiya, Rabbi Levi Bar Chiya said, Hayotzi b'beis haknesses, if a person goes to shul and then he leaves the shul, v'nichdas to beis hamidrash, and immediately he goes into the beis medrash, v'yosek b'torah, and he then engages in the study of Torah, in other words, he prays, and he also engages in the study of Torah, Zoche Mekabel Pnei Shekhinah, then he will be worthy enough in order to welcome the presence of the Divine Presence. Shenemar, and the pasuk that he chooses for here, in order to illustrate this point, is Yelchu Mechayel El Choyel, they will go from strength to strength, Yeroweh El Elohim Betzion, and each one will appear unto God in Zion. Omar.